Welcome to Chart and Compass Ministry, a ministry of Christ Lutheran Church in Cape Canaveral, helping you to navigate through the storms of this life by the ever-accurate compass of the Word of God. I'm pleased to share with you today another message from Pastor Greg Lassier, and the message today is titled, Will Christ Find You Awake Upon His Return?
Grace to you and peace from our coming Lord Jesus Christ, the King. Amen. Today, let's talk together about staying awake in the faith until our Lord Jesus Christ comes, until he returns on the clouds of heaven. Let me ask you a question. Are you awake today? Raise your hand if you're awake. All right, you're physically awake. That's good. Are you awake in the faith? Are you more alert every day? Are you gaining in energy all the time? Are the eyes of your faith sort of getting droopy and your ears getting sleepy and dull and sort of you're swooning in your mind? Are you drifting away from Christ a bit? Well, today let's talk about staying awake in the faith and alert all the way until our Lord returns on the last day and what God would teach us about that today for our encouragement. First of all, let's just consider, where is this written in the scriptures? Well, Jesus says this in Mark chapter 13. This is really all over the place, but here's one example. Jesus says, but of that day, in other words, his return, and of that hour, no one knows, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but the Father only. Take heed, watch, for you do not know when the time will come. It's like a man going on a journey when he leaves his home and puts his servants in charge, each with his work, and commands the doorkeeper to be on the watch. Watch, therefore, for you know not when the master of the house will come, in the evening or at midnight or at cockcrow or in the morning, lest coming suddenly he finds you asleep. But I say to you, I say to all, watch, watch. So there's one verse where Jesus is telling us to stay awake until he comes. But what's he really talking about there? Is he just talking about staying awake and not going, you know, to sleep physically? No, we all need to go to sleep physically. There's a natural order and cycle of things. Hopefully you all had a good night's sleep last night. That's not what he's talking about. He's talking about spiritually staying awake and not slumbering or closing your eye at all, but getting sharper and stronger and more awake all the time, spiritually, until he comes. Is it possible to go to sleep in the faith? I mean, think of what Jesus said to of the Jews in his day. He says, Matthew 13, for this people's heart has grown dull, and their ears are heavy of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest they should perceive with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and turn from me to heal them. Does that sound like sleep to you? Heavy ears, closing eyes, a heart that can't perceive the things that are going on. That's sleep. Are you awake today? Well, I've known a lot of people, actually, in my history of my little life, who have fallen asleep. People who came to Christ and they were awake and they were alert and they were energetic and they were going for Christ. But over time, they began to neglect the word, not go after vigilance and prayer, skip out on church, then skip a little more. And eventually, I saw those eyes grow dim and close and their ears heavy and their hearts very droopy and drowsy, and they fell or were falling back asleep when last I saw them. It's a possibility for us all. In times of trouble and in times of prosperity, we can be lulled back such that, you know, Jesus is not so clear before us and we're not so bright and awake as once we were. God's aim, though, is that we be awake, alert, our eyes ever sharper, ever more energetic, ever more awake until the day when he returns at the end of time, a day which is coming fast to us, very fast to us. The word there in the Greek Jesus uses is watch. Who knows that word in the Greek? It's my name, Gregory. It's actually the word gregoreo. That's pretty neat, isn't it? So my name, actually, and yours too, Greg, is alert one. Awake one, watchful one. So that's your pastor's name, and my aim as your pastor is to live up to that, not only to keep myself awake, alert until the Lord comes, but to keep you awake and alert until the Lord comes. That's one of my chief jobs as your pastor, that we all be found Gregory in the end, that is, awake, alert, ready for our Lord to return. Therefore, Paul says in Ephesians 5, awake, O sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give you light. So why is it so essential for us to stay awake in the faith until the Lord comes? Why do we have to be so diligent? Can't we just catch a little shut eye, skip out on vigilance a little bit? Well, it's dangerous to sleep when danger is about. I told you this some time ago when I was on the tall ship, Californian, sailing off of the California coast, 50 or 100 miles. It was almost 150-foot sailing ship I was on. And the only time I ever walked in my entire life was once on this ship because I was so tired. I mean, the hours were ridiculous. The labor was so intense. I was so exhausted. I actually got up in the middle of the night in the crew quarters forward, and I was walking around looking for a line. Where's the line I haul on? Where's the line I haul on? Where is it? I can't find it. And I only got awakened because a crew member was like, what are you looking for, Greg? I'm looking for the line. And he just burst out with laughter. He's like, I'm living around crazy people. I'm living around crazy people. How dangerous if I had gone on deck, slept sleepwalking 50 to 100 miles out at sea. What then? What then? It's dangerous to sleep when there's danger about. Remember Samson, he was the greatest Superman of the Bible, preeminent in strength. He could pick up the bars of an entire city, gates, and carry them up to the brow of a hill and slay 1,000 men with a bone he found on the ground. But what do we read was his great downfall? Judges chapter 16. Yeah, don't just say a woman because I'll get people in trouble. But his trouble was this. Delilah made him sleep upon her knees, sleeping. And she called a man and had him shave off the 7 locks of his head. Then she began to torment him and his strength left him. And she said, the Philistines are upon you, Samson. And he awoke from his sleep and said, I'll go out as other times and shake myself free. He didn't know that the Lord had left him. And the Philistines seized him and gouged out his eyes and brought him down to Gaza and bound him with bronze fetters, and he ground at the mill in the prison. What was his downfall? Was he fell asleep when there was an enemy about, and that's why he lost his strength, because he slipped in and snipped. She did. The helper did while he slept. And so we need to stay awake too. Eternal vigilance is the price of safety. I've heard it said. It's dangerous to sleep when there's danger about. Is there danger about us? Yeah, there's danger inside of us. We've talked about that in previous weeks, that we are to be careful of the sinful flesh that wages war against our souls, says Peter. So there's danger inside. There's danger around us in the world. The world is at odds with God. And the Bible says, all that's in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. But the world is saying, come over to us. Buy here at Vanity Fair. Buy the things of this world. We have to answer, we buy the truth and not buy this world. You got to stay awake. Danger is about. There's the danger of the devil. Let's read about that one in Peter. 1 Peter 5, it says, your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. Resist him firm in your faith. Be sober, be watchful. So let's look at those words just for a second briefly in the Greek. He's obviously a lion. He's a devil, etc. He's also kind of like a snake, if you will, because he wants to hypnotize and put you to sleep. He's the great sleeper, the one that wants to put you to sleep, that is. We're to resist him, and anthistemi, oppose him with power, it would say in the Greek. Be sober-minded, says Peter. Nepsate, which means don't get drunk. Don't be caught unaware. Don't be like unconscious. Don't be slumbering. He says, be watchful. What's that word again? Gregory, Gregoreo. Be alert, he says. Be awake, because danger is about. It's dangerous to sleep when the devil is about. We must be alert. And have you ever felt this yourself? That whenever you want to do something that's for your faith and spiritual, it's so easy to fall asleep, but it's so easy to be awake when you want to do something for the world. You know, if we want to watch the football game, we feel great. If we want to go out to eat, we feel great. If we want to, watch TV, we feel great. If we want to go to the gym, we feel great. And then as soon as we sit down to read the Bible, I don't know if I can do this. Sleepy. As soon as you go to pray, your eyes become heavy and droop. As soon as you want to go to church in the morning, you think, oh, I feel like I got hit by a sledgehammer. Oh, should I really go today? Or maybe I can just skip this week. Anytime we want to do something spiritual that's real, sleep comes quickly upon us. That's because there's a battle involved. That's why we got to stay awake. There's a force. There's an enemy. There's a wicked spirit out there, and even a flesh inside of us that wants to put us to sleep in our faith. We need to be careful. It's dangerous to sleep when danger is near. Think about this guy. You ever hear of a guy sleeping in a sermon in the Bible? Well, Acts chapter 20, on the first day of the week, says Luke, we were gathered together to break bread. Paul talked with them, intending to depart on the morrow, and he prolonged his speech until midnight. I was hoping to do that today, actually. Can we do that? We're staying here until midnight, friends. There were many lights in the upper chamber where we were gathered, he says, and a young man named Eutychus was sitting in the window. Not a good place to sit, okay? Because it's a three-story building. He sat, it was sitting in the window. He sank into a deep sleep as Paul talked still longer. Okay, all right, I get it. And being overcome by sleep, he was fell down from the third story and was taken up dead. Paul went down and bent over and, embracing him, said, do not be alarmed, for his life is still in him. This guy fell asleep in Paul's sermon. Wouldn't you give everything to go hear Paul, the apostle, preach? If he wants to go to midnight, oh, amen. This guy fell asleep and in a dangerous position, for he was on the ledge of a three-story building. Allegorically speaking, it's the same for all of us. We're sitting on the edge of a three-story building on a window. Let's not fall asleep in the preaching of the word, but stay steadfast in Christ to the end. We don't want someone to come and say, he's taken up dead, but no, there's still a little life in him. We want him to say, he's awake, he's alert. He's alive and he has no interest in falling from the ledge. So David says in Psalm 13, lighten my eyes lest I sleep the sleep of death. Wake up my eyes, Lord. And Jesus says it's he who endures to the end who'll be saved. That helps to keep our eyes awake. So what should we be then like Christians? Jesus says, let your loins be girded and your lamps burning. And be like men who are waiting for the master to come home from the marriage feast, that they may open to him at once when he comes and knocks. And blessed are those servants whom the master finds awake when he comes. That's speaking about Christ's return. Will you be found awake? Truly I say to you, Jesus says, if you're awake, the master will come and gird himself and have his servants sit at the table, and he will come and serve them. What a reversal! Jesus says, if you're awake when I'm coming, guess what? I'm going to personally act as if I'm your servant, and I'm going to set you in possession of all of my possessions. And if he comes in the second or the third watch and finds them so, blessed are those servants. I mean, if you stay awake till 9, that's one thing. If you stay awake till 3 and 4 waiting for me, even more great, he says. But know this, that if the householder had known at what time the thief was coming, would not left his house to have been broken into. Some people won't be ready. Jesus is coming like a thief, and they won't be ready. You must also be ready, therefore, Jesus says, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour which you do not expect. So, are you awake? Your clothes on? Are you ready to go right now? If the Lord should return even this very day, we're to be ready. Let me ask you a question. How much of the modern church do you think is awake right now? Think about that. Are there droopy eyes, dull ears, hearts not understanding, unfaithful preaching, people drifting into a droozy-woozy slumber? I see it. They're all around. It's like in Pilgrim's Progress, which Sammy mentioned this morning, when the Christian and faithful are on their way to the celestial city. Before they get to that heavenly gate, they have to pass through a place called the Enchanted Forest, whose very air makes one drowsy. They had to stay awake through that place. So must we all. And which watch are we in, the second or the third, do you think? It's been 2,000 years, friends, since Christ was here. Perhaps the third watch. Blessed are you if you are found awake at his coming then. So what do we need to do to stay awake in the faith until our Lord Jesus comes on the clouds of heaven? Well, if you're driving down a car, you ever been driving down a highway and it's like really dark and it's late at night and you're all alone and you're like, I can't stay awake till I get there. What do you do? Here's a good thing to do. You get coffee. And yes, I have coffee in the sanctuary, but this is holy coffee. It's set apart for a holy purpose to keep me awake. You know, Ginny, if she were here, I don't drink coffee, really. I haven't drunk coffee because my dad always said coffee stunts your growth. And I, even though I didn't really believe it, I would be like, okay, I don't drink coffee. But last Advent, a year ago, in the evening service, I was like drinking. I said, I'll just try a little coffee. And Ginny was like, you're going to drink that now? You'll be up all night. I'm like, no, I won't. Forget it. Guess what? I was up all night. And I was like, I could feel my body shaking. But even as I was like up till 4 a.m., I was like, oh no, but this is good. This is good. I can use that. And lately, as Vivian knows, I've been drinking. Oh, coffee. Stay awake. It gives you a little jolt. What's our coffee as Christians? You got to drink this word. It's the same thing. It gives you a jolt. It keeps you awake. Jesus says, if you knew the gift of God, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water, he said to the woman at the well. Where do you get that living water, she says. Jesus says, basically, I'll give it to you. If you drink of earthly water, you'll thirst again. But the water that I give you will become in you a spring of water welling up to eternal life. And my words are spirit and truth. If you want to stay awake in the Lord until he comes, hear the preaching of the word, like you're doing now, but also, at home, be in this word daily. As we read in Psalm 119, my eyes are awake before the watches of the night, that I may meditate upon thy promise. And even these couple of sips I just had right now, ooh, I feel good. I feel good. You drink this word, you're going to feel good. Stay, it'll keep you awake. Secondly, if you're down this deserted highway in the middle of the night and you can't stay awake, another thing to do is to roll down the window, like the old days, rolling the window down. And you get that cool air coming in. So here's another thing you can do. Get some fresh air on your face, right? Ooh, that feels good. That wakes me up. See this little fan? It's waking me up if you get that cool air. And what is that for us? That's prayer. Jesus says in Matthew 26, when he was beginning to betray, remember the disciples, it says they were falling asleep even while the Lord was being betrayed. Jesus came and said to them, could you not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray that you may not enter into temptation. The spirit's willing, but the flesh is weak. Watch and pray. Prayer will keep you awake. So that was number two. I'll put the coffee over here. It says prayer and the word. Jesus says, take heed to yourselves, lest your hearts be weighed down with dissipation, drunkenness, and the cares of this life, and that day come upon you unawares. For it will come upon all who dwell upon the face of the whole earth. But watch at all times, praying that you may have strength to escape these things that will take place, and to stand before the Son of Man. To be able to stand before the King on that last day, we need to be found awake. Jesus says, pray. Pray, well, that will keep you alert. Thirdly, what else do you do? You're driving down the road. You've gotten some coffee. You've rolled down the window, got some fresh breeze of prayer. What else would you do? Well, if there's, what? Ah, very good. Turn on the radio, listen to somebody, listen to something, or if there's someone sitting next to you, wake them up and say, hey, let's have a conversation. I got that too. Look, here's my phone. Although you really shouldn't talk on your phone so much when you're driving, but if it's going to save your life, talk. Or wake the person up next to you. You got to have godly conversation with each other. And so the scripture also tells us that let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. So if you see someone sitting next to you right now in the pew, falling asleep in the sermon, boom, give them a little knock, okay? Hit them on the shoulder. Poke them in the ribs. That's what we do. We got to keep each other awake, and you're doing it. You're here. But that's what we got to remember to do. There's number three. How about number four is stay busy in kingdom work. You know, God's given to each of us different things to do. We're not all the same, but do the work that God's given you to do, because that's going to get your juices flowing. You know, I go to the gym, done it for years. I see some people there that are, you know, fresh, some people there that are tired or exhausted, but I ain't never seen nobody sleeping in the gym. Because I got the barbells here. When you work out like this, it's impossible to sleep, because you are getting the blood flowing. And if you are working out as a Christian, doing what God has called you to do, your faith is going to have blood flowing, if you will, through it. You're going to be awake and alert in the faith. Then here's another one. Number five of six is, you know, if you're getting close to your destination, it's you want to take a look at the map. Because if it seems like it's forever, you have no idea where you are, it's easy to fall asleep. But if you're only a few exits away, you're like, I can make it a few more exits. So get out a map. Here, I got this old one. Can you believe I still have a physical map? Look at that one here. And, you know, say you're going here and you started here. If you look at the map and you say, hey, I'm right about here. I can make it this, that last little bit. Well, what is our map? It's the scriptures. Jesus has told us what to look for. Matthew 24, when you hear of wars, rumors of wars, earthquakes and famines in various places, and false preachers and false Christs and such things all coming to pass, you know that he is near. He's at the very gates. How close do you think we are to our destination? Read the news. How close do you think we are? Look around you. I see these things being so fulfilled. And by the way, God is a very orderly God, isn't he? 2,000 years from Adam to Abraham. 2,000 years from Abraham to the Christ. 2,000 years from Christ to us. Very symmetrical. Strangely so, you might even say. I think he's coming very soon. Guys, we only have a few exits left to go. Stay awake. For salvation is near to us now, says Paul, than when we first believed. The time is now for you to wake from sleep. The night is far gone. The day is at hand. Let us then cast off the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. And then lastly, number six, I usually have seven, right? But I have six today, is the joy of the Lord. You know, this wakes you up if you look at the beauty of God with you, because what he's done for us is that God sent his son into the world, not to condemn us, but that the world might be saved through him. And whoever believes in him, in Jesus, is not condemned. We are justified by faith in Christ. That means that as you go through life, you have God as your friend, as your father. You are in redemption, the forgiveness of your sins. You've been transferred from darkness, dominion, into the kingdom of light, the kingdom of God's only Son. And that should fill us with great joy, not only for the present journey, because he says what? I'm with you always. I'm with you today in your life, all the way through this world. But he says also at the end of the Bible, he says, behold, I'm coming soon. And when he does, we have super presence, super prize. Look at this. Oh, here's a little thing for us. Look at that. Little present. Oh, I got the Holy Spirit with me. I've got the angels help with me. I've got friendship with the Father with me. I've got forgiveness of our sins, and I've got a new world that God has prepared for us. God says, when you awake from this dream of this world, you are going to awake to my face. As for me, says David, I shall behold thy face in righteousness. When I awake, I shall be satisfied with beholding thy form. We're going to be born into a world very soon, friends. Out of the womb of this world, this is just a womb, we're going to be born into our life, into a world where we will go forth like calves leaping from the stall. We're going to go forth into a world of righteousness with a raised and glorified body, and we will be with each other, ruling with him, crowns on our heads, and glorying to see the Lord all the days of forever. This is what's before you. That should give you joy, and me joy, for the world to come, to stay awake. So I'll conclude with this word from Jesus. He says, watch, therefore, for you do not know when the master of the house is coming, in evening, or at midnight, or at the cock crowing, or in the morning, lest coming suddenly he finds you asleep. And what I say to you, I say to all, stay alert, keep awake, watch. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this week's message called, Will Christ Find You Awake Upon His Return? A broadcast of Chart and Compass Ministry of Christ Lutheran Church in Cape Canaveral. I'm Art Hansen, speaking for Pastor Greg Lassier. And if you're looking for a church home, or if you'd like to stop by and just visit, our services are at 10 a.m. on Sundays, and worship Bible study is at 7 p.m. on Wednesday. Christ Lutheran is located on Highway A1A in Cape Canaveral, right across from the Recreation Center. If you'd like to hear more messages, please go to our website at ChristLutheranChurchCapeCanaveral.org. Thanks for tuning in, and I look forward to sharing God's Word with you again next Monday at 12:30. Have a wonderful week in our Lord Jesus Christ, the great captain of our soul. And God bless you.